Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The beautiful Memphis Botanic Garden. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. For more info, log on to liveatthegarden.com. Also presented by FedEx, True Green, Infinity of Memphis, Regions Bank, Radiance, Pro Show, Mahaffey Tent, and PDR.
Message and data rates may apply.
Attention, it is illegal to text and drive. So if you're experiencing hair loss and you want a permanent solution, please pull over now, because an incredible offer that could give you your hair back is just one text away. Fosley is America's number one hair restoration expert, always pioneering the latest technology. And now we're giving everyone who texts GROW to 543-543 an absolutely free information kit that reveals just how easy and affordable this permanent solution really is. Don't wait. When you text GROW to 543-543, we'll also give you a gift card for $250 off. Millions of men and women have come to Bosley for a permanent solution to hair loss. So pull over now and see for yourself how great your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit. Text GROW to 543-543. Plus, get a free gift card. This amazing offer is just one text away. GROW to 543-543.
Download the new 92.9 FM ESPN app. Search the app store for 92.9 FM ESPN. Listen, look, love. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. 92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing a unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
All right, I'm here. My name's Gary Parrish. Brad Carson's in studio producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day with no obstacles and no disruptions. Spending this opening segment and multiple segments throughout today's radio show discussing college football, because it was an awesome opening weekend of college football. I guess it really got started last Thursday night with the Tigers over Louisiana Monroe in the rain. We had some games on Friday night, but whatever. But Saturday was unbelievable. Michigan, Florida, Alabama, Florida State. Sunday night, a historic comeback by a UCLA team that'll be here at the Liberty Bowl in a couple of weeks. And then last night, old Butch Jones got lucky again. Seemed headed for a defeat, instead wins it in overtime. We'll discuss it all in just a second. First, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 425, Keith Eastwood is the nation's leading authority on hobos, heroes, and street corner clowns. He was on one last week. I expect more of the same today. I will ask Keith Eastwood about Sam Sausagehead, and also the Athlon preseason basketball magazine has hit newsstands, and Athlon, a respected magazine in the college basketball previewing universe, has picked the University of Memphis Tigers to finish 12th in the AAC. That's dead last. That's lower than I would pick.
What?
Them, but still picked last. I don't know if the University of Memphis has ever been picked last in their league in men's basketball.
That's crazy.
I mean, I know it hasn't happened in my lifetime.
Not in the time I've been here in the last 14 years.
I'm 40 years old. It's never happened in my lifetime. And so we are dealing with some unprecedented Tiger basketball stuff right now. I'll ask Keith Eastwood about it. He's going to be here at 425. Finish that segment. I will do four notable stories at 444, at which point we'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, the Red Sox are possibly in trouble because their sign-stealing operation that featured them using an Apple Watch has been exposed by the New York Yankees. So that rivalry is about to get even more intense, especially if the Red Sox win the East, and we think they won the AL East because they've been cheating all this time. Another cheating Boston franchise. We'll discuss it 444. Ryan Russillo returned to ESPN Radio today after his week-long suspension that was levied because he got super drunk and passed out in a hotel room that did not belong to him. That'll get you arrested. Back on the air today. Some interesting words from Ryan. We'll get into that a little later on this hour. Cam Newton was asked about Colin Kaepernick earlier today. So he became the latest professional football player to stick up for the still unemployed quarterback. I'll tell you what Cam Newton said just before 5 o'clock. And Ezekiel Elliott ruling is expected sometime soon. Later today was the most recent report. By the end of business on Tuesday. Today's Tuesday, right?
Yep.
And so we should have a decision on Ezekiel Elliott at some point in this hour, maybe even minute. If we do get that decision, I will obviously pass it along to you. Either way, we will discuss the Ezekiel Elliott situation during Four Notable Stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins will join me, just like always, talk college football with him. And then at 5:25, stumbled into this interesting story, NFL-related, over the weekend that is unlike just about anything you ever hear in sports. It's about a young man named Austin Eckler, who you've never heard of, I'm certain. But his story to how he ended up on a San Diego Chargers roster is pretty remarkable. And so we'll just do the story time with GP around 5:25. Nice. I'll tell you his story because it's one that deserves, I believe, more attention than it's getting. I've seen it get picked up a few places, but it really hasn't become a national story or something that people are talking about. But what an amazing story this young man has, and I'll share it with you at 5:25. Then we'll do dinner to go, and we'll get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with college football. Just a tremendous opening weekend to the college football season. Like we talked about earlier, I guess it started Thursday night with Memphis, Louisiana, Monroe, but it really got going on Saturday. Michigan handled Florida pretty easily on Saturday afternoon. Alabama handled Florida State pretty easily on Saturday night, and then UCLA put together a historic comeback on Sunday night to beat Texas A&M. And then last night, of course, Tennessee put together not a historic comeback, but still an impressive comeback to beat Georgia Tech in overtime. Brad Carson, I'll ask you, the biggest story from week one college football was?
I would say Alabama, Florida State, and the Alabama just is to me.
I think that's certainly a reasonable answer. I think it boils down to three things. Three, if you're looking for the big takeaways from the opening weekend of college football, Alabama just looking like a machine again,
beating Alabama,
the number three team in the country by I believe 17 points. That could be the biggest story. The number three team in the country, those same Florida State Seminoles, losing their starting quarterback DeAndre Francois for the year. I mean, that's a massive story. I mean, you're talking about a team that, even with the loss to Alabama in the opener, people still said could get to the college football playoff.
Yeah,
that's how good they were. To have that ripped away from you in your opening game, it's rough. And really, teams all over the country dealing with injuries. Memphis has lost two players for the season, we now know. Alabama lost two linebackers for the season. Florida State lost its quarterback. You know, these things happened all over the country. It is just a reminder of how violent the sport is. Like almost every team in the country like lost somebody important in their opening. Like imagine if in the first weekend of college basketball, every team lost a starter.
I can't.
Like it just doesn't really happen.
No,
you know,
in
football it's kind of a normal
thing.
You have to learn to deal with it. And so but Florida State, I mean, you lose your quarterback. With all due respect to Alabama's linebackers, I bet they got four more that look just like those dudes, okay?
And a backup quarterback that's awesome, too.
I'm not pretending that Alabama isn't discounted a little bit because they lost who they lost, but, I ain't worried about Alabama. I still think they'll be there at the end. But when you lose your quarterback, particularly at a place like Florida State, particularly when it's DeAndre Francois, you've just lost something.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to say their season's over, but that season's not going to be what it could have been otherwise. Big loss there. That could be the big story from the weekend. And then the third option, if you were looking for three options that could be the big stories from the college football weekend, it's UCLA's Josh Rosen inspired comeback that flipped the script on two hot seat coaches. And when I hosted on CBS Sports Radio yesterday morning, it was immediately after, that late night game, UCLA and Texas A&M. And so it was obvious the story. And what I found most interesting about it, beyond you get a college football star who is also a top shelf NFL prospect having this incredible game on national television in a window that belonged only to him.
Yeah, and that comeback and the whole deal.
Because
right?
Virginia Tech and West Virginia were playing.
Yeah.
But it got to a point where that game was over.
Yep.
And even if that game wasn't over, you're on social media, you're aware that I mean, you might have just had two screens and you're watching Bub. But even if you didn't have two screens, you get to the point where, oh, hey, Rosa just threw another touchdown. Right. UCLA's coming back. Yeah. A&M's collapsing. You flipped over. Yeah. My point is, this is why I'm a big proponent of the University of Memphis playing off of Saturdays. And by the way, they will again this weekend. They've moved that game now, Memphis Central Florida, to Friday night at a 5:30 Central kick. So it'll kick while we're live on the air Friday to try to get in there and out of there before the hurricane arrives. And it's just, you know, our offices, CBSSports.com, are in Fort Lauderdale. Like, they're getting preparing to have to evacuate this this weekend. Just, you know, we just went through this with Houston. And now there's some thought that what is about to happen, what could theoretically happen to South Florida and just Florida in general could be even more devastating. And so scary stuff. But the Tigers in Central Florida, they're going to get that game out of the way. They're just going to play it a day early. And so one of the things I've always said is the more times, if you're Memphis, you can be on when Tennessee's not on, Arkansas's not on, Ole Miss isn't on, Mississippi State's not on, Alabama's not on, the better. Because it provides eyeballs that otherwise won't be there. Because if there's only two options of games on, well, then you're going to get some people who just like, they're just going to watch you because they like watching football. Right. They like betting on football. When there's on Saturday, you've got a game on CBS, a game on CBS Sports Network, a game on Fox, a game on FS1, a game on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, ESPN News, ABC, NBC. There's just stuff going on all day long. You can kind of get lost. My point is that Rosen on Sunday night had that whole window to himself. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're watching football, you're watching him. And he put on a show.
Yeah.
And so that's big for his Heisman Trophy campaign. It's big for everything. It's big, frankly, for the University of Memphis.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking about Memphis.
Now you get that guy coming into your stadium on September 16th. Like, I think that crowd was going to be good no matter what.
Yeah.
But, like, now it's an opportunity for dads to take the kids, or mothers to take their sons or daughters or whomever, and say, hey, we're going to go down to the Liberty Bowl, and we're going to watch the guy who might be the next great quarterback in the NFL. Like, if you had a chance to watch Aaron Rodgers in college, or Tom Brady in college, or whomever, like, that you might be doing that with Josh Rosen. Like, he's, I don't know, certainly going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft, but he could be the number one pick in the NFL draft. And so there will be people who will go to that just so they can say, do you remember the time Josh Rosen played in Memphis? Do you remember the time the Tigers played Josh Rosen? And hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, Memphis fans will have the same story to tell like the one they tell about Peyton Manning. Do you remember the time when we beat Peyton Manning? Yep, this is the time we beat Josh Rosen. Yeah. We'll see. But that was big for the University of Memphis, for Rosen and UCLA to do what they did on Sunday night. But the most interesting aspect of it was how it flipped, totally flipped the script on a couple of hot seat coaches, specifically UCLA's Jim Mora and Texas A&M's Kevin Sumlin. They both come into this season under pressure. They have job pressure right now. Like, I think they both know, kind of like Butch Jones in Knoxville, like, if this season doesn't go well, you probably won't keep your job. And so anytime a football game is played, you can have teams' futures determined. Like, if you're trying to win an SEC title and you lose a certain game, that might eliminate that as a possibility. Or you're trying to win a national title, you lose a couple of games, that could eliminate that from the possible futures for you and your teammates. But, like, if Alabama would have lost on Saturday night, it doesn't really affect Nick Saban's future. That Florida State lost on Saturday night, it doesn't affect Jimbo Fisher's future.
No.
It affects their teams, but it doesn't affect their coaches' futures, their lives, entire staff's lives. This Texas A&M UCLA game, it had that.
Yes.
Because one guy had to win, one guy had to lose, and whichever guy lost, his seat would be hotter than it's ever been. And it was already hot coming into this thing. And so you knew the stakes going in. But what's so wild is that it flipped in a way that I really don't think anybody saw coming.
No.
Because if you watch that Texas A&M UCLA game, sometimes you watch things on the film and you look at the scoreboard and they don't really make sense. Like, honestly, Tennessee-Georgia Tech game last night is a little bit like that.
Yeah.
What happened on the field wasn't accurately reflected
with the outcome.
with the outcome.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia Tech controlled that game if you really watched that whole game.
Controlled the game. Completely
controlled the game. Yeah.
The scoreboard didn't
properly
reflect what happened on the field.
Right.
You see that scoreboard at the end, you go, okay, well, Tennessee beat Georgia Tech.
Right.
Yes, they scored more points than Georgia Tech, but they didn't outplay Georgia Tech last night.
No.
You know, it's one of the things about football is that the I don't want to say the better team doesn't always win, but more specifically, the team that plays better on a particular day doesn't always win for a variety of reasons.
Yep.
And so there was a point on Saturday afternoon, if you would have looked at Michigan, Florida, Florida was winning.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have said, okay, man, I guess Florida's giving it to Michigan a little bit. Right. No, they just got back-to-back pick sixes.
Yeah.
What was happening on the field, was it a reflection of the scoreboard didn't reflect that.
Right.
It was a couple of bad throws, fluky pick sixes,
mm-hmm.
but then the game got going and Michigan was able to pull away from them. On Sunday night, Texas A&M UCLA, when Texas A&M's up big at the half, that scoreboard accurately reflected what was happening on the field. There was nothing fluky about it. They weren't taking advantage of one stupid UCLA mistake after another. They were dominating the football game, dominating it in every way. They looked bigger, stronger, faster, better, everything. And I kept it on because it's Sunday night, it's football, hanging out with some friends, whatever. But there was, like, no, like, it gets to a point where you're not even trying to think about, like, if they could maybe come back and make it interesting.
Right.
Like, it's like, how bad are they going to lose to Texas A&M? And it just flipped.
It sure did.
And so at halftime, there were people tweeting about Jim Moore is on his way out. This might be Jim Moore's last game at UCLA. Chip Kelly's looking for houses in Westwood, so on and so forth. And Kevin Sumlin, of course, is about to be 1-0. With an incredible, like, what would have possibly been gone down as the most impressive opening weekend victory that existed outside of Alabama controlling Florida State.
Yep.
There would have been columns written on Monday and then today about how Texas A&M looks like it could be the biggest threat to Alabama in the West. Did you see what they did to UCLA the other night? So on and so forth. And instead, because of a historic comeback by a top-shelf quarterback, Sumlin's the guy who now has his job in real jeopardy, so much so that a Board of Regents member, like, posted on Facebook, I'm ready for Kevin Sumlin to go now. Like, your entire life for both of those guys, entire life changed in a matter of about 2 hours on Sunday night.
It's amazing.
In a way that nobody could have possibly seen coming.
Nope.
Because, again, it wasn't like Texas A&M was up big because Josh Rosen threw five interceptions or because UCLA fumbled it three times in a row or because, you know, UCLA let them run back three punts.
Right.
It wasn't fluky.
Nope.
It was just Texas A&M lining up and just beating them to death, overwhelming them. It looked like two football teams that didn't play the same level of football. Like, it looked like an SEC team against a Division II team or a great high school team against a really not so great eighth grade team. It looked like two different caliber of everything. And then it just flips on them. And then Kevin Sumlin, I mean, can you imagine that?
What
in a span of 2 hours, in a span of 2 hours, you go from, I'm about to have the most impressive victory of the opening weekend, and we're going to be talked about as a serious challenger to Alabama. You go from that to, you've got to lose your job because you just lost to UCLA in a game that you had under control. You just lost to UCLA in a game that you were up 34 points. Now you can't keep your job. That was the most remarkable thing about Sunday night. You've got two guys who enter this season with real job pressure. And for a half, it looked like one guy was going to be the one who had to answer some really difficult questions late Sunday night and early Monday. And by the time it was over, it was completely the other guy. The thing had flipped in an unpredictable way. And then, you know, you followed up on Monday night, and the stakes weren't quite the same, because Georgia Tech's coach didn't really have job pressure.
Right.
But Butch Jones did. If he would have lost that game last night, we'd be having some serious conversations. And I still think you can have some serious conversations about Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about it with Jeff before, but I've said it many, many times with Butch Jones. Seems like a nice enough guy. I don't know him like that. He's been on the show a few times. Seems like a nice
enough
guy.
He's fine, yeah.
Works hard.
Yeah, hard worker.
Good recruiter.
Those are positives.
Good and accomplished recruiter.
Yeah, he's had success in his past career stops.
I think he's good enough to make you good.
Yep.
I don't think you'll ever be great with him.
I think that's fair.
I think he's good enough to make you good.
Yep.
He's good enough to make you respectable.
Yep.
But if you are aspiring for greatness at Tennessee, I'll be wrong. I've been wrong about other things. But if you're aspiring for greatness at Tennessee, which I think is what most Tennessee fans I'm friends with,
yep,
that's what they want to be. You know, they remember 1998. They know they've won a national championship, you know, in my adult life.
Well, they're set up for it.
If you aspire for greatness, I don't think that guy can make you great. I think he can make you good. I think his floor is better than, say, Derek Dooley's floor or Lane Kiffin's floor. But his ceiling, I don't know that his ceiling is where you want it to be. And so it'll just be a matter of time, whether it's this year or next year. His next mediocre season will be his last.
Yep.
And I think that next mediocre season is always going to be right around the corner because I just don't think he's special on game day. I think he can do a lot of aspects of the job.
Yep.
But to be great at college football, in this era of college football, you got to be able to do the job on Saturday. And I don't know that he can do the job on Saturday. He didn't look like he was doing the job last night. They won that game in spite of him. They won that game because of overwhelming physical ability and in spite of him. And when your team wins in spite of you, all that means is that eventually they're going to lose because of you. And I think those days are coming. Keith Easterwood's up next.
Hello, I'm Harold Bird here with my brother Bobby. You know, our day jobs might be with Bank of Bartlett. Most of you know us as University of Memphis Tiger football fans. We couldn't be more excited about this season, as this year's Tiger team could be the best passing offensive team since Steve Matthews, Isaac Bruce, Russell Copeland, and Matt Cody.
Well, they were good, but what about Lucky Lloyd Patterson, Ernest Gray, Ricky Revis, and Keith Wright? They were great. And how about our own Bank of Bartlett's Damian Dotson?
Hey, yeah, what about me? Quadri Anderson and my group won the first ever game over UT.
That's right, Damian. Well, all those were Tiger greats, but this year's team has a chance to be the absolute greatest ever.
I agree with that, Harold. I'm looking forward to cheering the Tigers on New Year's Day Bowl this year.
That's right. Why don't you stop by and see us at Bank of Bartlett? We'd love to talk Memphis football with you. And while you're here, our mortgage experts can run your current home loan through some drills. And we can coach you to a mortgage loan that's right for you.
Harold, are you saying that a home loan with Bank of Bartlett is a touchdown?
Well, heck yeah, Damian. Absolutely. Go Tigers, go.
Bank of Bartlett. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Gary Parrish, and as you likely know, my wife and I had a baby at Regional One Health last year, and I can't recommend them enough. Just tremendous, but understand, like I've told you before, you do not have to experience an emergency to get great care from Regional One Health. And right now, I'm here with Amanda Best, a family nurse practitioner at their East Memphis Multi-Specialty Care Clinic. So explain it to me, Amanda. Does that mean you have all different types of doctors in your office?
Yes, it isn't just internal medicine. We practice in a multi-specialty clinic with cardiology, endocrinology, rheumatology, nephrology, and neurology.
So does that mean I can see a specialist at the same office where I have my annual checkup?
Absolutely. The model for the building was to create a medical neighborhood by providing access to the right care at the right time. We are a convenient one-stop shop for patients.
And that's all possible at the East Campus, correct?
Yes. You can schedule an appointment online at regionalonehealth.org or give us a call at 901-515-3150. The East Campus is located at the corner of Quince and Kirby.
You heard her. Make an appointment online, regionalonehealth.org, or give them a call, 901-515-3150.
It goes by many names. Bank, bills, bones, bread, cake, cash, cheese, cheddar, clams, dinero, dough, Franklin's, greenbacks, Jackson's, Lincoln's, loot, moolah, paper, and stacks. But no matter what you call it, we call it money. And that's exactly what you could win when you play the four new Money Instant games with top prizes starting at $2,500 and ending at a cool $500,000. The new Money Instant games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Just remember to play responsibly.
There's a lot you can do to pass some time, like running. You know, people love running. Just you, your feet pounding the pavement. Actually, running's not always fun. You know, it is always fun. Keno to Go from the Tennessee Lottery, with drawings every 5 minutes, prizes up to $100,000, and the ability to watch drawings anywhere, anytime using the Tennessee Lottery app. Nothing beats the fun of Keno to Go, and it's fun whether you're alone or in a house full of friends. Fast, fun, and full of prizes. It's Keno to Go from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Just remember to play responsibly.
Comcast Fast Business offers fast and reliable internet speeds in your area. Call 1-800-501-6000 now and choose a fast internet plan. Then add phone and TV for just $34.90 more per month. All the fast Comcast business internet speeds include business Wi-Fi, access to millions of national hotspots, 24/7 customer service, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Schedule your installation today. Call 1-800-501-6000 now and select a fast internet plan based on your business needs. Then add phone and TV for just $34.90 more per month. Let Comcast Business help give your business an edge over competitors with consistently fast internet speeds, even during peak hours. Don't miss out on this great opportunity. Switch to Comcast Business Internet. Then add phone and TV for just $34.90 more per month. Act now. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Built for business. Offer ends 9/30/17. Restrictions apply. Limited to one voice line and private view TV for new customers. 2-year contract required. Requires Comcast Business Internet at an additional monthly charge. Equipment tax and fees including broadcast TV fee extra.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice. Now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the hottest gift.
Running low on the stuff you need? Time for a Target run. We're here for all the big moments and the little ones, too. Like sudsing up the last days of summer with Olay body wash on sale for $4.99. And a two-pack of Up and Up paper towels, always a great deal at $3.49. Need a winner for your wine tasting club? Bring California Roots, a new brand that's always just $5 a bottle. Plus, we've lowered the price on thousands of items throughout the store, like bath tissue, diapers, milk, and more. Target run and done. Pricing may vary. Restrictions may apply.
At Christchurch, we believe in Memphis.
We care so much about the city.
We want to be an agent for change and an agent for good news in this community.
And we're investing ourselves in the needs of the city, trying to make a difference in this city.
I'm Shane Stanford.
And I'm Maxie Donald.
Each and every week, we're highlighting incredible people, organizations, and the wonderful impact they're having on our city.
Learn how you can help keep spreading the good news at WeBelieveInMemphis.org.
We believe in Memphis.
Yeah, we believe in Memphis.
As the 60th anniversary celebration continues, Cowboy Corner Boots and Jeans has a great offering for September. Special selection of Ariat, Laredo, Durango, and Wolverine boots for $99.95. Men's and ladies. Yep, some of these boots originally sold for $200, but you can now get them for just $99.95. As always, Cowboy Corner has the best selection of Western boots and work boots around at prices that meet or beat the online sites. Cowboy Corner Boots and Jeans on Goodman Road in South Haven and on the web at thecowboycorner.com.
Experience exhilarating midway rides, fair food, and an awesome youth talent show with today's Perks deal. A discounted family four-pack of tickets to the Mid-South Fair. Get yours at getmyperks.com.
An unexpected injury due to no fault of your own is one of the most frightening and stressful times of your life. At this very time, some unethical lawyers or their representatives, known as runners, may reach out directly to you. This is not allowed. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Many times, we find that one of these runners will actually go to the hospital looking for clients. If this occurred, you are most likely entitled to all of your legal fees back and the cost you were charged. Additionally, my worry is that a lawyer who would risk their license to practice law may well have settled your case for less than it was worth. Desperate people do desperate things. You may have a legal malpractice claim as well. Call us to see if you're entitled to a full refund of your legal fee. Protect yourself and your family. Call us for more information on your cell phone at Pound Law. That's #529. Morgan & Morgan. For the people.com.
Guests appear via the Smile Center hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The Boston Red Sox have been stealing signs using an Apple Watch. That's against the rules, so they're in trouble with Major League Baseball. I'll give you the details on that in the next segment. Jeff Coggins at 5 o'clock, but right now, he's the nation's leading authority on hobos, heroes, and street corner clowns. It's the legend Keith Easterwood.
The Big Interview, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. It's the one and only Keith Easterwood.
He ran.
Yep.
Hi, Brad. Die.
Local basketball expert, talking hobos, heroes, and street corner clowns on 92.9's Gary Parish Show.
Easterwood, what's up with it?
I typed die on a message board. I think I told this a few years ago. And this guy got so pissed out of Nashville, I think he complained to everybody affiliated with that message board. Of course, then I got banned for protecting you and whatever.
But, how could they ban you from that message board?
When you say that to people or you see kids turn and say, and sometimes they'll throw an MF-er in there, but it'll be like, die. But they know it's just a joke. Just die. In other words, shut up. I don't listen to you no more.
How could they ban you from a Memphis basketball message board? Like, if I ran a Memphis basketball message board and I was lucky enough to have the legend Keith Easterwood posted on it, I'd keep you there forever.
I mean, I got a post over there in the recruiting forum that's got, I think, over 2 million views or something stupid.
Right. You know, you're like one of the only things they got over there. Why would they ban you? That seems. Do you even know why? Was it really over me?
Well, there's. It all started years ago with the proliferation of people getting paid to give information, and I was asked to be part of it. But it's just like working out kids. I've always done that for free, and so. Either through radio, when I did radio with Otis Jackson or with Vernon or with you, I never charged. I sold a newsletter for a while, but that the NCAA got caught up in all that. And I don't want to mention these places, but it's really one in particular. But they got to bitching about me because they offered me money to help them, but I chose to just keep giving it free to people. Of course, now that I've gotten older and not so much in the game, my information is not as good, although I got a kid named Alex Anderson, 6'6", from Tipton Rosemark, who's committed to Middle Tennessee State, which I think is a good fit for him. He's a really good player. But that's kind of what happened. It got to be a pissing contest. And so politically, I wouldn't send nobody messages or complaining about nobody else. And then, you know, sometimes late at night on a message board, you may – add like a drink and type something you probably would wish you had to type.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what it is. But what they don't know, and I've said it, and they're not gonna catch me because I don't post over there a lot. But I've got another account, and so I read all that crap. I was just looking at it. But the quality of information over there, part of it is because coaches now, you notice, they're not sharing as much information as they used to. And then when I had, you know, a garage full of shoes and high-level players, there was almost an assistant or head coach on every team that would feed me information, but they would always be like, hey, don't leak it until we want you to. And then Cal and them were really good to me because they would either ask me to go on there and post stuff, or sometimes they would call me, DK, be like, will you take that crap down? And so so there was a period of time where my special information about Memphis was better, I would say probably better than anybody's, not only because of my relationship with the staff, but I was traveling with these kids. But again, I made a decision, which, you know, some people, you know, probably say it was stupid. I made a decision just to keep giving it to people that I had befriended, and gave it away free in a couple of avenues. One was with this stupid message board, and one was, you know, with you guys. And then I'll continue doing that, whatever I get, whatever I run up on. I do think we're about to get into a run of where especially in Memphis, guys are going to start making some decisions.
I'm talking to Keith Easterwood here on 92.9 FM ESPN. The other thing, and this is not specific to that message board, but just message boards in general, there used to be a big one connected to for sports writers. I think it was called sportsjournalist.com, and it's still there. But, like, every sports writer was on there in some form. And, like, everybody would post, but everybody would monitor it and look at it and read it. Like, if you posted on sportsjournalist.com, like, people were going to see that in our industry. And then Facebook comes along and Twitter comes along, and message boards aren't nearly what they used to be, because if people want to comment on things, they just do it on Facebook or Twitter. And so it has really diminished a couple of things: message boards and also live blogs. We used to always have live blogs during events. Now, if people want to hear what you think about a game that's happening right now, they don't go to a live blog. They're following you on Twitter. They'll see what you tweet. And so the internet has changed so much in the past 10 years that however relevant message boards used to be, they're less relevant today.
Well, there's no question, because I used to go on a Kentucky message board. I used to go on Tennessee and Arkansas message board because they really didn't like me for a period of time. And because they accused me of keeping those schools from recruiting Memphis players, and I kind of played to the crowd, but it really wasn't true. But anyway, couple of questions. So the deal with Cleveland and this draft pick that they got,
mm-hmm.
LeBron's leaving. I mean, I mean, nobody that you talk to,
you're exactly
privately
right.
or
right.
whatever, he's out of there.
Right.
So, but if they trade that pick for a player and try to make a 1 year run, then to me they sell their soul because most of those guys, if you look, like J.R. Smith and a lot of those guys that he took to Cleveland, even Kevin Love, they all played AAU ball, not on the same teams, but at the same era, the same year or two apart. And so when he went to Miami, he took guys with him. When he went to Cleveland, he took guys with him. If you think a lot of those guys are going to stay in Cleveland because it's a hellhole, they're not.
No.
And so if you don't keep the kid that went to Duke or draft one of these guys, if you don't get a top three or four pick next year to kind of anchor your team, then Cleveland will go back to being – Cleveland of old.
Oh, they're going to be real bad when he leaves. And you're exactly right. I don't think anything will be determined until after the season. Like, there is still a chance LeBron could stay in Cleveland. But literally nobody in basketball, whether you're talking to other NBA players, agents, coaches, front office people, literally nobody thinks that LeBron is staying in Cleveland past this year. The interesting thing will be what happens if, and I talked to Woj about this yesterday, what happens if LeBron goes to the front office in February near the trade deadline, and he says, "Listen, Isaiah Thomas looks great. I really like playing with him. Kevin's is playing at the highest level of his career. JR's reliable. Derrick Rose looks better than he's looked in recent years. We're one piece away. I want you to flip that 2018 Brooklyn pick, flip it for DeMarcus Cousins, or flip it for Mark Gasol. Let's go try to make a run at the Warriors right now." If LeBron actually comes to that front office and says that, what do you do? It's tough. I mean, because on one hand, you know, you're going, hey, if we cater to him here and do what he wants, maybe we keep him. On the other hand, you go, we're losing him no matter what. We can't lose this pick, too. It's just tough.
But if you're going to lose him no matter what for Cleveland, in my opinion, that's probably for a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's their last run of the championship.
Oh, no, you're exactly right. Like, they go back to being really bad.
I don't think that team can beat Golden State, even if they bring in a couple more pieces, but that's just my opinion.
No,
I thought it was interesting today that Ryan Rosillo did address his naked night out in Idaho or Wyoming. I was watching it, and he handled it the way I wish most athletes and politicians would learn. He just looked at the camera and said, "Hey, we need to talk about something."
Right. No,
he put it out there. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I've imbibed in alcohol. I've never woke up in nobody's house naked. Thing. I woke up in the yard one time, off some tequila about 30 years ago, and I didn't have all my clothes on. But that's another story. But I really thought he handled it well. But what bothered me is people on Twitter are like, "Oh, he ought to be fired. He ought to be this." I mean, people can be so damn hypocritical, unforgiving, two-faced. I mean, the guy made a mistake. He went on a vacation. He's single. He was fishing. He obviously went somewhere and drank a lot of something. And I'm sure right now he's humbled and blessed to still have his job.
Right. When I first hear about the story, I'm like, ooh, I wonder what Ryan got into. Because I've known Ryan for a long time. I've been out drinking with Ryan Rosillo. Like, he likes to drink. And so we were fast friends. Every time something happens to somebody, I look at it and I try to, before I speak up on it, I go, okay, could that theoretically happen to me? Now, to be clear, I've never drank myself into a situation where I woke up in somebody else's hotel room. Now, I've drank myself into places where I woke up and I go, oh, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
But I've never, like, just went to the wrong room or house like he did here. But could I have done that?
Yes.
Certainly,
yep.
At some point. And so this isn't Ryan Rosillo getting plastered, then driving into a truck filled with kids.
Right.
It's not Ryan Rosillo getting plastered and hitting a woman. He just got S-faced and then got confused on where he was supposed to be sleeping and passed out. And, like, I can understand why he was disciplined. I can understand why he's embarrassed. If I were ESPN, I wouldn't have fired him because it's not an innocent mistake. Like, you should, when you're a public figure, you should control yourself a little more than that. I've had to make myself aware of that in certain situations. I ain't saying I'm the best at it, but I'm at least aware of that. He's not innocent, but it was he drank too much. And if the worst thing you do on your vacation is drink too much, again, you can't go in the wrong hotel room. He messed up, but it wasn't, there's nothing violent or vicious there. It's just he just drank too much.
Yeah. And it didn't mention driving because they didn't get him for a DUI or anything. I mean, I told you, I think when I first started doing it with you 6 or 7 years ago, when I was still in Memphis, these mechanics, because they know alcohol has a profound effect on me because of my attention deficit hyperactive disorder, has a spite of other things that I've mentioned on here. Mm-hmm. So they give me a little jar of moonshine and it was made in Fayette County. I had never had moonshine. So I go home, get my Rottweilers. It's like 3:30 in the morning, and I had them trained to walk around the block. They would stop at the corner, wait on me. We'd cross. They'd run the field at Sherwood Elementary. We'd go back. We'd cross the street. We'd make the right down Will Scarlet, go in the garage, go through the gate. So I make this shot of moonshine with lemonade. And the first one was like, that's pretty good. So I thought, well, I'll just take one and walk with it. By the time we got to the end of the street where the front of Sherwood Elementary is, I was in trouble. So when you turn it right to go down the street where I lived, it was slanted down. And so I kind of stumbled down when I got to my neighbor's house because they had a really well-groomed and shaped yard. I just laid down and went to sleep in the grass. When I woke up, my German rot was laid next to me crying. The American had gone to the front door. So I got up and went in the house. It wasn't no big deal, but I did throw the rest of that crap away and never drink anymore again. And I became a running joke. You want some moonshine? No, I don't. So let me ask you this, because the deal with LeVar Ball and his kid, number one, the younger kid is not going to be the one and done kid. I mean, I don't think anybody really seriously that's watched him play believes that he will. He's not like the older brother who's with the Lakers, got a chance to be rookie of the year and all that. So the shoe deal, though, if they're actually making money off of it because it's his, do you think that compromises his amateurism?
Absolutely. I mean, it can in theory. Now, there's ways to argue this. And the NCAA has a waiver process where they can give a waiver for any reason they want. I mean, it's totally up to them. So is LaMelo Ball in violation of NCAA rules right now based on the way the rule book reads right now? Yes, because he's using his athletic ability to market, for a company. The company happens to be owned by his dad, but he's still advertising, using his athletic ability to advertise for a company. That's right. In violation of NCAA rules. That said, LeVar's right on two.
I like him. I find him to be really.
No, he's super interesting, and he keeps things interesting. I think the most likely way they'll try to argue it is, you know, UCLA's lawyers at some point will argue, when it becomes time to argue such a thing, your rules are to prevent a amateur athlete from accepting money to endorse products. And we got you. We understand that. That's not what this kid did. He was 15 years old. His father asked him to take a picture with some shoes. This is his dad's company. He didn't sign a contract with Nike or Under Armour or Adidas.
Right.
He didn't sign a contract with Big Baller Brand. He didn't do anything other than what he's, think of it in these terms. He's a 15-year-old who did what his father told him to do. And if you really want to punish that kid and keep him out of college basketball because his father started a shoe company when he was 15 years old and used him to help launch it, then that's fine. I guess you can. But that's a bad look for an NCAA, an organization that's supposed to be about student athletes' rights first. You say you always want to do right by the student athlete. You have an opportunity here. The kid's no longer appearing in Big Baller ads. They've removed him. But when he did, he was 15 years old. Cut him some slack. And I think that's a pretty reasonable argument. I don't know if it'll work, but that's probably where they start.
Yeah, and you know, I gave away thousands of shoes and warm-ups and bags and socks and headbands and money. And I mean, and I always wondered why, and me and you had this conversation, why they didn't go after what's widespread during summer basketball. But I guess it's too much for them to do. But those kids are getting all that product only because they're good basketball players.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
I mean, the science team at Carver ain't getting no free shoes.
No. The NCAA's position on Nike and Under Armour and Adidas has basically been, we're just going to stay out of it, because what Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour's response to the NCAA is, you want to try to come in and mess with what we're doing? How about this? We'll let your universities buy their own shoes, buy their own uniforms.
Well, I knew you were going to go there. Yeah,
yeah, and the NCAA is like, you know, guess who runs the NCAA? University presidents. And will you tell a university president, remember that $30 million you used to get a year from, Nike used to get from, Michigan used to get from Nike or whatever? That's no longer there. No. So they just leave the shoe companies alone. They really just leave them completely alone.
Yeah.
Except for Big Baller Brand.
No, I just find him to be fascinating because I could hang out with him. So
no, you could. You'd like it. You'd like LeVar. You'd like LeVar. Go ahead.
Man, I'm not ready. For the first time in history, because I've been watching a lot of women's tennis because I'm short skirts, we could have four American women in the semifinals at the U.S. Open.
Look at you, a tennis expert now, huh?
As long as they keep winning, yeah.
No, it's. I think we got one more quarterfinal match to get out of the way, and if the American wins that one, yeah, four Americans in the U.S. Open semifinals. Go USA, yeah. USA.
You like those tennis butts?
One, you know, Williams will win. The other two, I don't know nothing about. But given if I got the right time sitting in front of the TV, I will definitely know about them.
My man, you're the best, Easterwood.
Be red.
Yes.
I gonna wake you up.
Hey, enjoy those. hey, Keith, I just want you to enjoy them tennis butts.
Well, I'm a butt man anyway.
He's a butt man anyway,
Brad. I knew that. Well, you like it, Brad. All, don't you? Yeah.
Hey, Brad.
Yes, sir.
Chris Vernon and Roser.
My guy.
Shout out to Vernon and Roser.
My guy.
Shout out to Vernon and Roser.
Shout out to Vernon and Roser.
All right, Eastwood, we'll see you.
Bye. Love you guys.
Love you. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
There it is.
That's the great Keith Easterwood.
That was spectacular. He actually carried the whole, like, topics. And...
Yeah, like, he handled that. It was like his radio show.
That was good.
It was like his radio show, basically, which is maybe the way it ought to be. You want to know the truth?
It's a mixed bag, you know, and you never know which makes the segment great.
Right. I mean, we could end up talking about tennis butts for 40 minutes, or we could just end up talking about Ryan Russillo. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
I never know.
Easterwood's the legend.
We covered seven things. I counted them.
Seven things, and not the one thing that I actually planned to talk to him about. But whatever. We got next week.
What was it? The ranking we were
at? Yeah, the Athlon preseason magazine.
Are we still in the same lane with Tulane?
Yes.
So Tulane in that particular ranking is ahead of Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
My God,
Gary. I know.
My God.
What do you mean to do? It's not my fault.
Athlon is a respected journalistic piece.
I want to be very clear. I do not think the University of Memphis men's basketball team is going to finish last in the American Athletic Conference.
Do you think that it's reasonable?
I think you could make them. I think you could pick them last, sure, based on roster alone. I just wouldn't do it.
Tubby can coach. I know that.
I just don't think Tubby Smith's going to finish last in the American Athletic Conference. I mean, I just fundamentally don't believe that'll happen. Right. But if you're going strictly based on roster, is it possible they have the worst roster in the league?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I talked to Rob Doster about it from NBC Sports. That's what he thinks. He thinks Memphis has the worst roster in the AAC. It is something.
Mm.
Boston Red Sox are cheaters. Just like that other Boston football franchise. We'll talk about that next.
Wednesday on Mike and Mike. Florida State lost DeAndre Francois for the season in their loss against Alabama. Can they still make the college football playoff? We'll ask Kirk Herbstreit. And Andrew Luck will miss the season opener. What's the timetable on when he'll be clear to play? We'll ask Phil Yates. Plus, could we see Brock Osweiler start for Denver this year? We'll ask John Gruden. It's Mike and Mike. Mike and Mike in the morning. Weekdays 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. 92.9 FM. ESPN.
Hey, guys. My name is Jason Tilson, firefighter from Black Canyon, Arizona, and I love Firehouse Subs because the more subs they sell, the more they are able to help save lives in our communities. That's why the guys at Firehouse Subs are introducing the new $5 snack time combo. From 2 to 5 p.m. every day, you can get a small sub, chips, and a 22-ounce drink, all for just $5. So now, even an afternoon snack can help save lives because a portion of every Firehouse Subs purchase goes towards providing life-saving equipment for first responders all across the country. Thanks, guys. It means a lot to all of us.
New $5 snack time combo at Firehouse Subs. 2 to 5 p.m. every day. Get a small sub, 22-ounce drink, and chips for just $5. But hurry, it's for a limited time only. Firehouse Subs, founded by firemen. Firehouse of America will donate 0.13% of your purchases in 2017 at all U.S. locations to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation with a minimum donation of $1 million. For full details, visit firehousesubs.com.
How your teeth look can affect how you feel about yourself, and with today's advancements in dentistry, it's easy to change that appearance in just a few simple visits. Yes, you really can get a wider smile in less than 2 hours, and you won't ever dread going to the dentist anymore. Not after you check out the Smile Center at the corner of Poplar and Kirby in the Forum Building. The Smile Center, it is central to everything, and it's also comfortable and convenient. And this is Gary Parrish telling you, I'm speaking from experience. This is where my family goes. It's where your family should go. So if you're looking for a dentist, or if your dentist doesn't even know your name, call Dr. Mady Sadeghi. He and his staff, they make it really easy to take care of your smile, whether you're in need of a routine cleaning or something more cosmetic. That's the Smile Center at the corner of Poplar and Kirby. You can get more information at SmileCenterMemphis.com. That's SmileCenterMemphis.com, or call today to make an appointment. 309-1333, 309-1333. It's the Smile Center, taking comfort to a whole new level.
Business keeps changing. Emerging technologies are bringing new opportunities and even bigger network challenges. And yesterday's networks weren't built to handle today's technology demands. When you need carrier-grade data and internet services for your business-critical applications, choose Comcast Business Enterprise Solutions, a new kind of network built for a new kind of business. With over 149,000 national fiber route miles and over 1 million Ethernet-enabled buildings, Comcast's enhanced fiber network provides the reliability and scalability that today's large, widely distributed enterprises demand. If you're still relying on last-gen technology, odds are your business is struggling to connect multiple locations or to support more cloud applications and mobile workers. Why run your modern enterprise on a last-gen network? A new kind of business needs a new kind of private network that's built for today and prepared for tomorrow. Visit business.comcast.com/enterprise to learn more today. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Guests appear via the Smile Center hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
CBC's Madison is by Michael Zellner's, where you're always going to find everything priced 50% to 80% off retail store prices. They don't have sales because they're always less expensive than retail anyway. We're talking about an authorized CERTA dealer selling brand new factory seconds, overstocks, and discontinued models at factory direct pricing. One store, one owner. That store is at 2790 Kirby Witt Road at the corner of Summer Avenue in Bartlett next to Hollywood Feed. That owner, it's Michael Zellner. You can reach him directly, 359-1040. He's got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Been selling mattresses in the Memphis area for nearly 17 years. And when readers of the commercial bill were asked to vote for the best mattress store in the area, your winner back-to-back years, it was Sleepy Z's Mattresses by Michael Zellner. They don't only sell mattresses, though. Also, living room sets, bedroom sets, dining room sets, rugs. Basically, anything you need to furnish a home, you can get it at Sleepy Z. Same deal, 50% to 80% below retail store prices. They carry signature design by Ashley Furniture and Benchcraft, so you know where you're going. You need something for your house? You get in touch with Michael Zellner. 359-1040, 359-1040. That's Sleepy Z's Mattresses by Michael Zellner on the web, sleepyzzzs.com. Jeff Calkins going to join me at 5 o'clock, talk college football with him. But right now, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Now, Gary's four stories, presented by Bank of Bartlett. Four notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 444. Story number one.
Investigators from Major League Baseball have determined that the Boston Red Sox, who are in first place in the American League East and likely headed to the playoffs, executed a scheme to illicitly steal hand signals from opponents' catchers in games against the second-place Yankees and other teams, according to several people briefed on the matter. That's according to a story published this afternoon at NewYorkTimes.com.
What's going on?
And so here's what was happening, or as Doyle would put
this
it.
This is unbelievable.
Going on.
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on?
Stealing signs is pretty normal.
Yeah.
In at all levels of baseball,
sure,
I think.
Is.
Maybe not 3-year-old T-ball where I'm dealing at right we're dealing with right now, but yeah. But certainly at the high school level, at the college level, minor
sure.
level, wherever. And it's sort of frowned upon, but like if you can do it, you can do it. The only rules that are actually in place is you can't use anything other than your eyeballs.
Like a guy on second and then you raise your hand.
Yeah, well, you do that, you'll get your you start getting that obvious with it. That's how you get somebody a fastball caught in the ear. Because, a catcher sets up outside. You give him the signal, your hitter, that, hey, they're going fastball outside.
Right.
And then they just bring it inside, and you lean in, and now you're in trouble, right? I mean, that's the way we used to handle it when I was a kid.
Smart.
If somebody was stealing signs, we'd make them think we're throwing outside, and then we'd come inside, and you want to stick your head in there again?
I've seen that.
You want to stick your head in there again?
Yeah.
Be careful. So more on the down low than what you suggested. But essentially, you can use your eyeballs. You can't use binoculars, can't use video cameras, anything other than if there's a guy on second and he can steal the signs and make you aware in a subtle way of what might be coming or what should be coming. It's frowned upon, but very much part of the game.
Sure.
What the Red Sox were doing was something drastically different. They had cameras set up all throughout because there's cameras everywhere at a baseball stadium.
Yeah.
So they were using one of these cameras to get signs. So you got a video guy in the clubhouse watching on these cameras getting the catcher's signs. He would then text to somebody in the dugout who was wearing an Apple Watch, and it would say, you know, fastball outside, breaking ball in, you know, here comes a slider, whatever.
Yeah.
And they would then immediately signal to whoever's on second base, and then that person could get a sign to the hitter. And so where they are violating rules is you can't use the cameras and you can't use technology like an Apple Watch.
No.
But that's how quick it would be. I'm watching.
Yeah, boom.
Okay, fastball outside. I text it to you. Boom, boom. Take seconds. Boom. You got it on your Apple Watch in the dugout.
FB.
Now you're signaling to the guy at second, the runner at second. He's getting your signal to the hitter.
He raises his right leg quickly or something.
Here's what's interesting.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
In times when the Red Sox and Yankees played game one of their series, which is the first evidence they have that the Red Sox were doing this.
Yeah.
When the Red Sox had a runner on second, they were 5 of 8 at the plate. 5 of 8 because the hitters knew what was coming, including a first inning 2-run home run.
Of course.
Guy on second, we can get him the sign. He can get it to our hitter. They were 5 of 8 in that situation. And like right now, the Yanks are only 2.5 games back of the Red Sox. Like this could be something that actually determines the AL East.
What is it about Boston, Gary?
Yeah, because the Patriots were, a spy gate.
Right.
And now the Red Sox are.
Like, they got a bunch of cheaters up there in Boston.
Maybe it's just like something in the water up there.
I'm
not sure, but I thought it was funny. Somebody tweeted earlier, the thing everybody's missing here, sort of getting lost, is that somebody actually found a reason to own an Apple Watch, which is 100% true, by the way.
You bought one of these Apple Watches, did you not?
I've owned an Apple Watch for nearly 2 years.
And what do you think of the product?
I've never charged it.
You've never charged it?
I would wear it sometimes. Because
I saw you wear it for a good week or two, I remember, like last summer.
Because it looks good.
Oh, it looks sharp. You had like a white one, didn't
you? I would wear it, no.
What color was it?
Silver, Brad.
Okay. I knew it was lighter color.
And but I never tried. I never learned how to use it.
It wasn't actually functional.
It just seemed okay, this is neat, but why do I need this?
Well, now you know.
And so, I could have been stealing signs. And
with a ball. You could have had your guy on second, like relaying signs.
Could have been stealing baseball signs. So maybe I'll charge it up and learn how to use it. I don't know.
Story number two.
Ryan Russillo was back on the air earlier today. We talked about this with Easterwood unexpectedly, so I won't spend too much time on it, but I thought he handled it about as well as
perfectly
as you could handle it. He was just sort of straightforward. Yep. Like, I drank too much, and I ended up in a hotel room that didn't belong to me, and that's how you get arrested.
I thought the suspension was the right penalty, too. You bring him back, you give him a couple weeks to lay out Labor Day, and then boom, he's back.
Well, the initial story you got to remember was Ryan Russillo in Wyoming.
Yeah.
In
a room and naked and all. Yeah.
No, that wasn't the original story.
Oh, was it?
It was he was arrested for
trespassing.
And so you start to go, okay, what did he get into?
Right,
drank too much. And then, like, is it an ex-girlfriend? And he breaks into a house. Like, your mind starts to wander.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was as innocent as it could possibly be once you acknowledge the guy just got plastered.
Right.
You know, he got confused on what room he was supposed to be in. And somehow this this hotel room that didn't belong to him was unlocked. So he just opened the door,
that's
walked right in.
That's also unlucky, by the way.
But... went to a back... yeah, I mean, you would hope it'd be locked. You can't get in.
If you're drunk, yeah, you just hope you're so locked doors.
He walks in, sees the bed, crashes out.
Ugh.
And then the people who actually are occupying this hotel room come home, find him there. They call the cops because that's what you would do.
Yeah, of course.
And now he's trespassing, all these types of things. So it sounded bad, but in reality, he just got confused when he was drunk. And again, Ryan said this today. You know, when you're a public figure, you have to be a little more aware that when you do something, it matters in a way that when somebody else does it, it wouldn't.
Right.
And he's 100% right about that. But, you know, this wasn't a violent act. He didn't get drunk and get behind the wheel of a car. He didn't get drunk and, you know, start a bar fight. He didn't get drunk and hit a woman. He just got drunk and passed out in the wrong hotel room.
Yeah.
Unfortunate, embarrassing. But I don't think something he should have lost his job over, so I'm glad that he did.
Story number three.
Cam Newton was asked today about Colin Kaepernick still not having a job in the NFL, and here's what the Carolina Panthers quarterback said. He said, I really think it's unfair. I think it's unfair. Hmm. In my opinion, do I think Colin Kaepernick is better than some of these starting quarterbacks in this league? Absolutely. Should he be on a roster? In my opinion, absolutely. There's no question about it. Is he good enough to be on a roster? Is he good enough to be a starting quarterback? Yes. Absolutely. And then he smiled and said, but my focus is on our week one game.
Yeah.
So it has become more common now than it was, say, 3 months ago for athletes, both white and black, to speak up on behalf of Colin Kaepernick. But it obviously hasn't made a difference with his employment status because at this moment he remains unemployed.
Well, it is remarkable with Denver.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.